Hi, Steve Pomerantz here, host of On the Money with today's On the Money Extra, where we feature market updates and insights as well as guest interviews with noted financial experts to help you stay informed and learn the facts to make the right decisions about money. So let's get started. I want to welcome back one of my favorite guests. Her name is Sharon Epperson, and she is a correspondent for CNBC covering the commodity markets and personal finance. And she also appears on NBC News shows today and the NBC Nightly News. Welcome back to the show, Sharon.
Thank you for having me, Steve.
You recently co-authored an article entitled All the Single Ladies, Start Planning Now for Your Financial Future. There's some serious stuff going on here with the ability of single women to save properly for retirement. Tell us about it.
Well, it's really startling, the statistics that have come from the recent survey done by the Employee Benefits Research Institute about how women, single women in particular, how little they have saved. About 40% of women who are not married have saved less than $1,000.
Wow.
And that is much more than the number of single men, much more than the number of married women or married men. So basically, the people who are saving the least amount in this world are unmarried women. And the issue becomes when you're in retirement and have to fund your entire retirement without an inheritance, without help from a spouse, without all of that, you really, really are going to be relying on yourself. And this is really setting a lot of women back. I don't think they're thinking about what this means for their future.
Yeah. First of all, they have the lack of financial security of a dual earner household. So that's number one. And, you know, we can talk a little bit about that. But in addition, in general, I think women make less than men.
Right. So, of course, we just had Equal Pay Day, you know, really bringing to the attention for those who are not aware of how little women make compared to men in almost every single industry, every single profession. And so that is a huge, huge issue. Not just because we're being paid less at the moment, but because when you look at what your Social Security, which is the only, you know, if you do believe it'll be there for you, which is the only guaranteed stream of income many people will ever have, if they haven't planned appropriately in particular, that is going to be less too, because it's based on your earnings over your career.
Does anybody have any idea why the system still persists that women make less than men? I mean, I could see years ago, but...
I mean, there's several factors, I think. I think, you know, you could say that there are some employers who are not enlightened. But I think it's also that many women may not be enlightened in terms of what their colleagues are being paid. The transparency in terms of pay is really non-existent in many places and many companies and in many industries. And that's a big problem. If you have an idea of what your colleague is being paid, you have a better idea of what you should be asking for and negotiating for. But the other big issue is negotiation. Women, just survey after survey shows, really do not advocate for themselves or negotiate in the same way as men.
Yeah.
And so that is another big issue that prevents women from necessarily getting the salary or the pay that they should be getting. You just have to figure out how to ask for it and ask.
It's amazing that, you know, the news about the movie star women who aren't making as much as their male counterparts. And it's just, it seems so blatant, you know, from someone sitting as far away from that picture as I am. There must be some other things going on other than they didn't know and they didn't ask. I mean, these people have agents and so on. I don't really understand it. This is not the forum for that, but I do question it from time to time. You know, also quoting your article, you write that studies have shown that women generally don't think they will need as much money as men, despite the obvious fact that we all know that, generally speaking, women live longer.
Yes, I think that it's just the lack of financial knowledge in general, of knowing what factors to consider when you're planning how much money you're going to need for retirement. And I think women and men do a poor job in factoring in how much health care is going to mean for the amount of money they're going to have for retirement. And also assuming that you're going to be as healthy as you are today, decades from now. You're hoping that that will happen if you have a healthy diet and you're exercising, you know, and your family history is such that you intend to live a long life. then you should understand that with that will come not necessarily chronic issues that are costly for healthcare, but just a long life expectancy, and you're going to have to pay for that. I think people are also, men and women, are unclear about what the government will pay for when you're retired in terms of healthcare, and assume that Medicare is going to pay for everything. And that, of course, is not the case. So I think that the healthcare piece is a really, really big piece in terms of women and men as well, not really understanding how much money they're going to need in retirement.
Yeah. You know, I can also see how a negative cycle has started here. So women are making less, but they have the same expenses of carrying the housing costs or rental and other costs to live. And so they're saving less, and it creates this vicious cycle where they just can't seem to get ahead with regards to their savings. I mean, you gave me this startling figure that 40% of single women only have $1,000 saved. I mean, it's just really incredibly disheartening.
Here's another factor. So in that number of single women, you know, I didn't really break it down in terms of how many are mothers, but whether you are married or not married, mothers also often put their children first in terms of everything, including financial issues.
Yeah.
So whether or not the mother has left the workforce to care for the child or taken a lower paying, more flexible position to care for the child or to for an aging parent, that's another issue that is a significant one that affects women much more so than men and prevents women from necessarily rising up the ranks in a profession and getting the top salary.
Yeah. I think that's got to account for really most of the disparity, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, you know, what can a person do now, knowing and armed with this information and looking ahead at the future, knowing that, you know, people are living longer and longer, and especially women live longer, but you're making less? What can a woman do who's in this situation to help herself?
Well, I think the first thing, let's start with the women who are moms or plan to be moms one day. Please understand that there is, and you said this many times as well, no financial aid for you in retirement. There is no scholarship. There is no grant. There may be no trust fund or no, you know, special godmother's gift for you when you're in retirement, but your child may be able to have these things. So put yourself first. It sounds selfish to some, but the reality is that we, and I'm a mother of two, that we need to take care of ourselves first, financially and in every other way, so that we can be there for our children when they need us to offer financial advice, perhaps more than the actual funding of what they need to do.
Yeah.
The other thing that I think is simply planning for the future and working with someone to help you do that, whether you're in a situation where you need to get your debt and credit situation together, so you go to a nonprofit counselor, credit counselor, or whether you are in a situation where you need a financial advisor, which I think almost everyone does, and there's a price point for everyone, I think, if you really look out there to find some type of financial help.
Right.
I think that that's a really good thing to do to help someone get help you get on the right page. And the simplest thing to do and the hardest thing to do when you are literally living paycheck to paycheck is to save, is to actually put money away and to, from the time you get that paycheck and actually before you even get it, because you're setting it up with your payroll department, have money already direct deposited automatically into
so
a savings account
you don't
so
see
that it.
It
never hits your checking account and you never see it.
Well, there's the old adage that you pay yourself first. You treat yourself as your first bill. Now, you know, whether it's $25 that are coming out per paycheck or $100, whatever it is that you can afford, that money comes out first and everything else becomes secondary. That money
it
snowballs. I mean, really, literally, you'd be surprised how fast that money will accumulate and you'll start to have $2,500 and $5,000, and then it just builds upon itself. Eventually, you can get it invested and maybe earn a decent rate of return over a long period of time on it. And again, it's creating the virtuous cycle and escaping from that vicious cycle.
And you know, Steve, one thing I found out when I was starting out in my career is that when you start that discipline of putting the money away, when other things crop up that encroach on your discipline, such as a home, children, car payments, you've already established a discipline that a portion of your paycheck, you never see it, and it's going to savings. And it's so important to do that. So for the young women and men who are listening, I think, you know, start as soon as you get that first job. And I mean, you know, your high school job. I mean, as early as you can possibly start putting that money away. And for those who are, and I do talk to a lot of folks who are like, look, there's just nothing left.
Yeah.
There's got to be. You've got to figure out some way, you know, to go to a third-party utility provider, maybe cut your utility bill a little bit and use the money that you're saving there to put to savings. You know, most people now watch whatever they watch, and hopefully they're watching CNBC, but they're watching on a device. They may not be watching it on a television. Mm-hmm. So maybe you're cutting your costs that way. Anything that you can figure out and put that money towards savings. I mean, it's just, it's really, really important. And one story that always comes to mind, Steve, is I remember talking to a young woman who was working at a television network, and she knew that the show that she was working on was going to end, and she was going to lose her job. And I was visiting the city where she was working, and she said, so where are we going to go out to dinner tonight? And I said, well, we're not going to go out to dinner, right? We're going to cook at your apartment, because why would we go out to dinner
right.
if you know in 6 weeks you are not going to have a job?
Mm-hmm.
And I think people just don't, often just don't think. You don't.
Yeah.
They don't want to think about the worst case scenarios. And as a journalist and as someone who is always looking at kind of risk out there just in my personal financial situation too, I'm always wary about what the risks could be and wanting to make sure that I'm financially secure and wanting to make sure that I come up with things for my readers and for my viewers to help them become financially secure. So thinking about what might happen and what if is really important as you're planning for the future. Even if you're in your 20s and 30s and you're thinking this is so far down the road and I love what I do and I'm going to do what I want to do because this is, you know, this is the path that I've chosen. You never know what's going to come up and what you may need in terms of your finances as you grow older, and you want to make sure that you're secure and free to do what you want to do.
Beautiful advice from Sharon Epperson, correspondent for CNBC. Sharon, that's why I love having you on. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure. Look forward to speaking to you again soon.
You're listening to On the Money with certified financial planner Steve Pomerantz. If you'd like information about guests, topics, or anything you hear on this program, call 866-MONEY01 or visit the show's website at onthemoneyradio.org.